conversation. If you've got a mustache or a driver's license, you do not qualify for children's church. Amen. Be praying for Sister Dorothy. She's ready to come home. She's running the halls now. Matter of fact, they told her we need a 48-hour notice before we decide you're ready to go, or a 48-hour notice before you decide to go. She said, well, take mine. I said, Oh, Sister Dorothy, let's let them decide. Amen. And also, just be praying for Emily Bond. Remember her in prayer. Okay? Won't go into it, but she's in the hospital and she needs God's touch. This is my eye salve, y'all. Oop. Good catch. She's Italian, so if I'd been throwing a handgun or a knife, she'd have caught it just like that. Poof. You know, a surgeon was checking on a patient who had a hernia operation 3 days before, and the doctor asked the man why he had not gotten out of bed. The man said, I hurt. You don't know how it feels. And the doctor said, I know exactly how it feels. I had the same operation last month, and I was back to work in 2 days. There's no difference in operations. The patient said, oh, yes, there is. You had a different surgeon. Amen. God's good. All the time. Now I asked DC and Daniel and them guys, I said, can we do Amazing Grace? My chains are gone, because everybody, if you got any canned fruit, hold it. If you got some fruit or whatever, hold it, because when you see this, you're going to think I have lost my ever-loving mind. Matter of fact, just to lighten things up a little bit, I think I'll come down here. Yeah, just this time. All right, watch this. This is the name of our sermon today. Y'all hold on to your hats till you hear me out. Go ahead. The F-bomb. Now, this is not what you're thinking. You said the F-bomb. We hear the F-bomb all the time. How many hears the F-bomb at work? Yeah, we're going to talk about a different kind of F-bomb today. Some of y'all go, phew, good for that. Amen. I hear it enough at work. I don't need to hear it today. Well, you're not going to hear it like you think. Turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. Stand for the reading of the word. See, the F-bomb, the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. God is so awesome. We can take what the devil meant for bad and turn it around for good. If you don't believe me, ask Joseph as he's prince of Egypt. Amen. If you don't believe me, ask Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times and ran out wet bitterly and thought God could never use him again. Amen. God can use us no matter what. Amen. The Bible says in verse 32, y'all got it? And there were also 2 other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors. Some say the malefactors didn't have nails in their hands. Yeah, they did. That word crucified means to pierce with nails. They were all crucified. They all had nails. The difference is Jesus was the only one scourged and then crucified. Jesus had both forms of capital punishment. They only had one. That's why at the end of the 6th hour, they broke their legs so they could no longer get up and breathe, and they would die quickly. Jesus was already dead. Okay? So they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Whoa. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. And everybody went right back to business like nothing had happened. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well and on the cross. I mean, on the cross, but off of the cross. You're alive and well and at the Father's right hand. I thank you, Lord, that the cross could not hold you. That I thank you, Lord, that you walk in freedom. And I thank you, God, that you give us freedom this day. ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, to have this day be a special day, anoint our ears, anoint our hearts. Father, I know there's some people in here that really need to hear this, Lord. And so I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, Father, in a very powerful way. Lord, let us all get a message from heaven today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. The F-bomb. Look at somebody and say, has he lost his mind? Look at somebody and tell him. You want to say it anyway, so go ahead. My wife says, I don't think there was ever any question. Amen. Now this seems so simple. Jesus, we're going to go through two videos from last week just to drive this point home. But this seems so simple because they're going about their business. They're crucifying the two thieves. They're crucifying Jesus. They're crucifying these guys. And it just seems like a natural, everyday thing. The Romans were experts in pain. The cross is there to actually exert the most pain possible and drag out somebody's death. Because it was the Sabbath, they broke their legs, but some guys stayed on the cross for days. Birds would come by and pluck out their eyes and pluck at their skin. They could do nothing about it. So some of them would be eaten alive right there by animals, if they were low enough animals. And no matter what height they were, birds would get after them, and buzzards would go set on them as they're dying. So this is a horrible way to die. So these guys, they don't even think anything about it. They do this so much to them, it's just see who can make it hurt the worst. And so as they put him up on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. Well, they know not what they do. Now there's a big, big thing going around in the world today, and it needs to be a big thing. It's called weapons of mass destruction. Matter of fact, that's the thing that the whole world said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. You can hear all the guys on the Senate floor saying he's got them, including Hillary, including John Edwards, including all these guys. You can hear them all say, even all these guys are saying, you can hear it out of their own mouths, he's got them, something's got to be done. And as soon as we go to do something and they can't find the actual weapons, now all of a sudden Bush is a liar. Now how can a man be a liar when everybody said it? And he was going according to the will of the people. Okay? So next time somebody says that he's a liar, just say, look, if you're going to talk like that, let's talk about something else. Okay? Because I've got evidence. You can look at it on YouTube. You can find where everybody said he had them. And everybody said we need to go after him. But getting past that, let's look. Now, weapons of mass destruction means a weapon that is able to cause extreme harm to an amazing amount of people and property at one time. Of course, there's the nuclear bomb, the atomic, hydrogen, neutron bombs, the biological, anthrax, yellow rain, ricin. There's chemical warfare, nerve gas. There's a dirty bomb, which uses a bomb to explode radioactive material, which in turn can take the people out and leave the buildings. And so you got all this stuff going on. But the greatest, absolute greatest bomb, the greatest weapon of mass destruction is none of these. Come on now. That's not the greatest. The greatest weapon of mass destruction, which will cause more harm in your life and in your family, is not these, but it is unforgiveness. A lot of us are walking around in unforgiveness. A lot of us, we're even here today, we're worshiping God and praising God, and we're praising Him with unforgiveness in our hearts. Now you say, well, how can that be? It's there. Trust me. I can tell you, because there's been times where I even preached on forgiveness while I had unforgiveness in my heart. Remember me telling you about the guys that beat Bethany? The guy that beat her, and then her, there's two guys actually, and I had unforgiveness in my heart, especially after they did her first surgery and they tried to correct her nose and some of her face. And when I saw her sitting there crying and writhing in pain, that weekend I was preaching, it was the 4th of July, and I was going to preach on being independent and independent because you have forgiven. And God told me, He said, buddy, you can't preach this sermon. He said, because you hadn't forgiven. And I got talking with him a little while, and I was praying, Lord, what are you talking about? I kept hearing it. You're not ready. You're not ready. Ready. And then the Lord spoke to me just plain as day and said, those guys that hurt Bethany, you have not forgiven them. Matter of fact, you want to kill them. A preacher? Yeah. A man. And so what I found out was, when I learned how to forgive them, God said, now you can preach this sermon. You see, forgiveness is a tool of Satan. How many know that? It's a tool of Satan. and it's operated by the flesh. You don't even have to be spiritual. You know, you see somebody because they can shout louder than somebody else, they can dance farther than somebody else, they can got an extra step in their kick. They really got to be spiritual because they can really kick on Amazing Grace. Look at them. You remember we got out the old Ribback hymnal and certain songs you pulled out, song number 10, all of a sudden Sister So-and-so, she'd start popping bobby pins out of her hair. Oh, she's spiritual. I'd even sometimes go out in the church, especially when we held those beehives. I got to church on the next service and see all these bobby pins in the floor. And I'd pick them up and say, boy, we had a service this morning. Look at these bobby pins. Do you know you don't have to be spiritual to use the tool, the weapon of mass destruction, unforgiveness? Because unforgiveness is operated in your heart. Unforgiveness is actually a work of the flesh. Right? But not only is that going on, but then it's operated, watch this, with little or no training. How many know that you don't have to be trained to be unforgiving? Nobody has to show you how to do it. There's not a manual. How many's ever seen a manual? How to live in unforgiveness. It's not there. Because you don't have to be trained. You don't have to reach out. Unforgiveness is the work of the flesh, and work of the flesh is something natural that you can use, and you don't even have to anybody try to tell you how to do it. So watch this. Unforgiveness causes more destruction than all the other weapons contain. Unforgiveness, listen to me carefully. Unforgiveness is the biggest, most popular poison that the enemy uses against God's people. It's so powerful. It is something that people harbor in their hearts. And remember, people have compartments. And so you can have these compartments, and I'm living free in this compartment, but this compartment over here, when I think about what they've done to me, I can't forgive them. And don't understand that although you've got five free compartments and one compartment harboring unforgiveness, you think, well, I'm all right then. I've got four out of five ain't bad. And God says, no, I want you free. And God looks at the whole picture. So watch here. The cure, I was in prison the other night. They let me out. Brother Billy said, I pray they let you out. They did. And I went to this one, Patrick and I right back in the back, and we had to go to all these cells. There were so many cells we had to go to. We never got past two cell blocks. We're going to the second cell block. Of course, Patrick's upstairs talking. I'm downstairs talking, and this young man, he's crying. He can't stop crying. And I said, what do you need? And he said, I just hurt so bad. And he starts going through and he tells me how he got hurt by his parents and hurt by his companion, and how now the police, all they can do is see him and they arrest him. And he just says, I just walked with this big cloud over me. And he says, I just hurt all the time, and I ask God to help me, and God's not helping me. And the Lord spoke to me as plain as day and said, just say one word to him and watch him change. I said, can I say one word to you? He said, yes. I said, forgiveness. And his eyes popped open. And I said, I bet you right now you're walking around with a lot of hate and a lot of unspent or negative energy inside of you because you have refused to forgive these people that hurt you. And he started crying again and he said, you're right. And I said, here's what I want you to do. He said, well, how can I fix this? I said, here's what I want you to do. Tonight, and I gave him an extra sheet of paper. I said, I want you to write down the 10, 15 people that's hurt you, the top 10. When you write them down, I want you to write beside them, Jesus died for them too. And then beside that, say, I forgive them with God's help. And write it down. And then every time it comes back in your mind what they've done to you, pull out that piece of paper and say, devil, write the date too. I forgave them. Jesus died for them too. I forgave them on this date. And let God have it. Let God stay up all night and work. He's going to be up anyway. Let God have it. So it's amazing. The cure is the greatest weapon mentioned. Here it goes. Get ready. The F-bomb. Somebody said, I told somebody at the prison I was going to preach on the F-bomb. And then he described what the F-bomb was. I said, not that one, buddy. Definitely not that one. Amen. The F-bomb. The greatest bomb ever dropped 2,000 years ago was the F-bomb. Forgiveness. When you think about what Jesus did, see, if you really, when the F-bomb was dropped, if you really want Satan to get get the doorway closed in your life that you've got that he's walking in. There's something there that keeps bothering you and keeps nagging you, and you think about certain people's names, and then all of a sudden you're right back at it. You can't, you're working fine, all of a sudden somebody mentions somebody's name, and bam, there you go. Watch this. When you drop the F-bomb, forgiveness, you shatter Satan's plans, and you bind his hands. Woo! When you drop the F-bomb, you shatter his plans because he wants you to live in unforgiveness. Because in the Lord's Prayer says, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt against us. One little child said, Lord, forgive us our trash cans as we forgive those that put trash in our cans. If you can find a way to use this F-bomb, you're going to shatter his plans, bind his hands, and you're going to open up God's plans in your life, and you're going to unbind his hands. That's an awesome thought. You know, as a matter of fact, it sets us free. It breaks this yoke that is constantly around our neck. As soon as you mention that person's name, you see a certain thing, hear a certain song, and all of a sudden, you're carried back. Right back there. Sort of like PTSD. PTSD, you can have an event in your life that causes PTSD, and then another event can take place that's entirely different from that event, but because that event made such an impact in your life that when you have a similar event happen, all of a sudden it throws you right back to the event that caused the PTSD. Throws you right back. And so it's important that we let God help us. See, it sets us free, and it sets a godly example. Other people get to see it, and it just changes everybody's opinion about everything. So I just wanted to show you. This is from last week. This is a couple from last week. I want you to see this, and then we're going to keep going. Now, if anybody has a reason not to forgive, it's Jesus. Is that 30 pieces of silver?
You come to me with scars on your wrist. You tell me this will be the last night. Feeling like this is the last time you'll be alone. Looking in the eyes, so I know you know I've never been where you are. You want me to be. Transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice. And the lives that you gave. We are healed for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved.
Now if anybody had a right to harbor unforgiveness, How many, no matter how bad it's been, how many has had that happen to you? How many wore those kind of stripes? So, Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him. He could have cursed those around them and had something happen. He also could have just destroyed them. But his first words from the cross. Go ahead, dear.
Abba. Spoko.
He crushed for our sins the punishment.
Father, forgive them, for they don't even realize what they're doing. There's some people in here that's been hurt, and if the other people really understood how much pain it was going to cause, it had never done it. And now they're too embarrassed or too full of pride to change it. But if they said, if I'd only known this is what it was going to do, I would have never allowed this to happen. How many's ever said that? If I even had any idea. So Jesus, he's our great example. Could have called 10,000 angels, could have cursed them around the cross. He could have destroyed them, but his first words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when he did that, Jesus lit the fuse to the F-bomb. Jesus lit a fuse that would never, ever be able to be put out. There's no other religion that uses the word forgiveness connected with them. When we go to Pitt Detention, I'm going to tell you something, Pitt Detention Center, our church provides Bibles for them, and the Gideons provide Bibles, and some people, other groups provide Bibles for them. And what we hear every time we go is, can you get me a Quran? And do you know that even the guys from the mosque, the preachers from the mosque, will not even come see them? They will not give them a Quran. They said they don't belong there. That's not where these people need to be. These people need to be living the way Muhammad said live, not being locked up because they've done something like this. So they won't even give them a Quran. They tell them to deal with it the best way they can. Get out of there on your own. That's how all the religions of the world tell us. You did it. You fix it. You take care of it yourself. But you know something? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Watch this now. It's called the F-bomb. I'm calling it the F-bomb because watch this. It breaks every chain. It demolishes every stronghold of unforgiveness, and it brings freedom in any place that we detonate this bomb. Any place we detonate it, it brings freedom. It's awesome what it can do. Now, before I talk about the F-bomb, let me talk about what it's not, what forgiveness is not. Quickly, forgiveness is not denying the offense. It never really happened. How many times somebody does you wrong, you say, well, that really didn't happen. Yeah, it did. Oh, yeah, it happened. Or forgetting the offense. I just forget it. Just forget it happened. Nah, that's not forgiveness. If you just deny it, it's not forgiveness. If you say you're forgetting it, that's not forgiveness. If you excuse the offense, But you still hold others accountable for their actions or lack of actions. And finally, forgiveness is not, doesn't mean that things are going to go back to the way they were before. Some people you will never reconcile with. Some people it's better that you don't reconcile with. Because they won't change, they haven't changed. And if they keep popping you, keep shooting you, keep hitting at you, all it's going to do is cause you to be in a bad bind. And so sometimes the best thing to do is forgive them and move on. Okay? But here's what forgiveness is. Then we're going to get ready to hit the F-bomb. But we're going to hit the F-bomb in a different way. I'm going to throw another little surprise to you. To forgive means to actually release. To forgive means to let go, to cancel a debt. So first, it's an act of the will. And secondly, it's a two-step process. What's a two-step process? First, there's the immediate decision. You say it, I forgive you. But just saying I forgive you doesn't always cut it, because I still have these feelings inside. I forgive you, but I'm still dealing with these feelings. So the second part is ongoing. It's a process. So I make the decision to forgive you, but at the same time, I've also got to know there's a process there. That's why many people get hung up in forgiveness, because they say, I forgive them, preacher, but I just can't get it out of my mind. It's because you think that once you say it, that's it. No. Then you got to let the Holy Spirit, God, His Word, God, His power, help you through this process. When you do, it models Christ. It works beyond reconciliation, whether you're reconciled or not. And it actually unleashes unlimited power in your life. Your life will be a whole lot different. You will find yourself smiling a whole lot more. You'll find yourself a whole lot happier once you learn how to use this. Now, I'm going to tell you something, the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness can take place with only one person. What if the other person you want to reconcile with is dead? What if they moved away and you can't find them? I got shocked this week. I called a friend of mine, one of the engineers at Fountain. I called his house. He lives in Colorado. I was going to call and check on him. The Lord's put him on mine for the last 2 weeks real strong and heavy. So I called his house. And when I called his cell phone, his wife picks up the phone. I said, let me speak to Larry. And she said, who is this? I said, David Lynch. She said, David, I hate to tell you this, but Larry died. And she said, we're coming back to North Carolina next week to put part of his ashes on his family land. And so we talked about a service. But it's just amazing. You know, I thinking he was living. He's been dead for a couple of months. I didn't even know it. Sometimes you want to reconcile with people. They're not living. Sometimes you want to reconcile with people and they don't want to be reconciled. They're still harboring hate and they're still harboring unforgiveness in their own heart, and they don't want to forgive. They don't want to reconcile. And some people just are not going to change. And so, remember, forgiveness is, reconciliation requires at least two people. Forgiveness can take place with only one person. Only one. Also, forgiveness is directed one way. Reconciliation is directed both ways. Forgiveness is a decision to release the offender. The reconciliation is an effort to rejoin the offender. And then the final one, unconditional. Forgiveness is unconditional regardless of a lack of repentance on the other party. Reconciliation is conditional based on repentance and change of behavior. So now, how many remember Emeril, the chef? Come on, there's got to be somebody here who knows Emeril. Everybody watch the cooking channel. There you go, ladies. Raise your hands, because I don't want to be the only guy going, y'all know Emeril. Come on, guys, raise your hand. What's his favorite word? One more time. One more time. Okay, I want you to watch this. He always says, we're going to take this up another notch, and then he does this. Turn it up, brother.
I'm going to kick it up a little bit. Another notch. I'm a little worried.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Are you with me?
I challenge you today to kick it up another notch. I challenge you today to take it to the next level. Spiritually, or you don't have to be spiritual to have unforgiveness in your heart. You don't even have to be trained. You can have unforgiveness in your heart if nobody's ever taught you how to unforgive or have unforgiveness in your heart. But God lives on a different level. Jesus teaches us to live on a different level. Matter of fact, here it is. So the animal says, taking him a notch, he adds that special ingredient, and then he goes, bam! Now I'm going to challenge you right now. Every time you see bam written up there, I want y'all to holler, listen to the top of your voice, bam! Now let's practice. Just pretend you've seen him. I count to three. You've seen Bam. One, two, three. Oh, y'all can do better than that. But one, two, three. There you go. From now on, when you see Bam, I want y'all to go Bam. All right? You won't scare me. If you do, that's okay. I'll get over it. Okay. Every time he has this secret ingredient that says to make everything a whole lot better, he goes Bam. So watch this. Forgiveness is that special ingredient. Forgiveness shatters, we talked about it, shatters Satan's plans, binds his hands, sets us free, unbinds God's hands. It sets the godly example. So watch this now. He said, well, I would like to forgive. Well, get ready. Here it comes. I'm going to show you something that you probably got in your mind right this moment. Hold on just a minute. When I said about forgiveness, how many here without raising your hand thought of somebody that you might have unforgiveness toward? Don't raise your hand. Do not point. Quit pointing. How many here thought of somebody when I said unforgiveness? I can guarantee you, as soon as I said you need to forgive them, here's what happened. Watch this. Go to the next slide. Forgiveness, flesh and Satan, begins to breed fear in your life. Watch this. When I say you need to forgive them, you go, but what if they do not acknowledge it? Oh, what if they don't change? All right. Drop the F-bomb anyway. God didn't say you were responsible for their actions. God said you're responsible for your actions. Amen. So Satan says, all right, you forgive them, but what if they don't acknowledge it? What if they don't change? Well, bam! Amen. Well, here's a good one. Pride. Satan and the flesh is playing hard. Why? Oh, here, listen to this one. Go ahead. They don't deserve release. they don't deserve release. They deserve pain. Bam! Because listen, God's got this. He's taking care of it. Learn how to drop the F-bomb. Bam! Amen. Bam sounds a whole lot better than F-bomb. Bam! Amen. Some of y'all agree. Amen. Some of you are going, well. Yeah, sometimes unforgiveness makes you drop the other F-bomb. We ain't going to do that either. Amen. Unforgiveness, listen carefully. Unforgiveness leads to anger. Unresolved anger leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to depression. Depression is nothing but your anger turned inward. Did you know that? Depression is anger turned inward. Woo! So when you have this stuff, it imprisons you. Wow. My anger is turning inside. I'm bitter. I'm depressed. I don't even realize why, but other than the anger that's on the inside turning inside. But forgiveness equals release. It's not for the guy that hurt you. It's not for the girl that hurt you. It's for you. It's not based on their actions. It's based on your attitude. Amen. When you begin to, when you drop the F-bomb, it sets you free. Bam! Yes! Y'all are doing good. Just for the sake of it, do it again. One, two, three. Bam! Drop that F-bomb. Forgiveness. Watch this. I'm closing. I said, really? Yeah, really. Bam! Yeah! Now turn it up a notch. All right. Unforgiveness builds a wall, but forgiveness builds a bridge. A lot of times, we got all these walls we keep hitting. When there's a bridge God wants you to build, we need to change. Look, God wants us. Look, unforgiveness, you are a victim. Did you know that? As long as you got unforgiveness in your heart, you are a victim. But as soon as you release, you go from being a victim to a victor. And I'd much rather be a victor than a victim. Amen? We serve a merciful and a gracious God. He expects us to do the same thing He did on that cross. And what is that? Get ready. Bam! Hey, they hurt me. It's okay. Bam! They don't deserve anything. Bam! I hope they hurt. Bam! I've heard them say, I hope they rot in hell. Bam! Forgive. Forgive. You want to be like your Lord? Forgive. On that cross, beat beyond recognition. He could have done all kinds of things. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even realize all the repercussions of all the stuff they're doing right now. The people that hurt you don't even realize you're still hurting. Amen? Watch this. Let's do it. I'm going to look up here. Ready? Go to that next one. Whoever opts for revenge should dig two graves. Woo! Wow. Now watch this. Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. I've seen some of you going around, you're chasing the rat, going, when are you going to get sick? Come on now, you got to die. Ugh. Here's what you need to do. You need to light that fuse. Let it rip. You light that fuse. And bam! Somebody will say that. Bam! Guess what? If you'll drop that F-bomb, Satan can't stand it. Come on up here, fellas. Get ready to play some. Satan cannot stand it. Satan gets torn all out of frame when he hears y'all and us, instead of going, I hate them and I'm going to get them if it's the last thing I do. But he hears, bam! That's right. That's right. When he hears what?
Bam!
When his people do what?
Bam.
What happens? Bam! The special ingredient that changes life. Wow. You know, it seems like in the last 3 or 4 days, I have run into more people that have an not here, not in the church. I'm talking about in other places where I've been having to counsel people. I've run into more people, especially at the prison, but I've run into more people that when we got talking, when I asked them, were they harboring unforgiveness toward whatever got them in there, they would say, you know what? You hit that nail on the head. And I tell him, if you can just find a way to give it to God. I told one guy to drop the F-bomb and he didn't really let me finish talking. I said, that's not the one I was talking about. I want you to forgive. 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 Be like Jesus. Forgive. I want freedom. Forgive. I want to walk around happy, full of joy. Forgive. The next time Satan tries to bring somebody to your mind or an offense to your mind and tries to get you to dwell on that and just destroy everything you're trying to get done, next time he does it, I want y'all to do this. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Bam! And guess what? You'll run that rascal down the road with his tail between his legs. Amen. Want everybody to stand. We're going to do something a little different today. First I'm going to ask, is there anybody here that with every head bowed, every eye closed? We're going to do something a little bit different. But it's going to be awesome. Every head bowed, every eye closed quickly. Is there someone here that would say, I've never received forgiveness from Jesus. I've never asked him into my heart. Is there anybody here that says, raise that hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Raise that hand and say, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus to forgive me. I've never asked him in my heart, and I need him. Maybe there's somebody in here that you have not lived the most wholesome of Christian lives after you accepted Jesus Christ. And you're actually maybe even a little ashamed or a little embarrassed or just a little angry at yourself. And you need two forgivenesses. One from God, and then you got to forgive yourself. If you're here and I'm talking to you, And you need God to forgive you. And you need to learn how to forgive yourself with nobody looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. We just raise that hand and say, that's me. Praise God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you can't even find it in your heart at this moment. It hurts too bad to even acknowledge. Today, we're getting ready to have a BAM session. I want everybody that will, raise your hands toward heaven. Raise your hands toward heaven. And I want you to say, God, say it out loud, God, I forgive that person that offended me. Say it out loud. God, everybody, we're all saying it together. God, I forgive that person that done me wrong. Now, I want you to say, God, help me to leave it at the cross. I've done the action. Now I've got to wait for the process. God, I trust you. I want freedom. I want freedom. I want freedom. Right now in the name of Jesus. One more time. I forgive. I stand free. Now we're going to count to three and what y'all going to do. One, two, three. Bam! Amen. God's in control. God's in control. Praise the Lamb of God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. If anybody needs to come to this altar and pray, that's fine. We're going to have a good time tonight, too. Don't forget, tonight's going to be awesome. But here's what I want you to do. Tomorrow when you get to work and that person's there that aggravates you so bad you can't stand it, you go, BAM! You hear me? You get on the phone and that special in-law or outlaw calls you and you want to do something, just go, BAM! If they say, what was that? Say, I just dropped a bomb on you, baby. Amen. God is awesome. Let's go ahead and sing.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether worthy.
Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. There's things in my past that I don't like. There's things in my past that hurt. But I'm giving it to you, God. I'm giving it to you.
Okay. How much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross.
Okay. Put your hands on your mama's kidneys here. Oh, your grandma's kidneys here.
Here I am to say that.
Stretch your hands this way, church. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch my sister from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord, especially this kidneys, Lord. God, you are more than you're more than able, Father. I feel it. I feel it. Thank you, Father. It's there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
We've waited on you, God, and you're doing it. And I thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. He's going to do more than you asked. You watch. More than you asked. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
You're all together worthy, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. To trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I need him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, to him. Take him more and more. I'm so glad to trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, to take him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, to him more.
How many in here? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Trust him, how I prove him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, today.
And here's got a mess in your life. Amen? How many sitting beside it? How many's got a mess in your life? Here's what I want you to do. When you think about that mess, I want you to drop the bomb. Boom! Bam! Bam! And watch God take your mess and make a message out of it. Amen? God, I need my... Y'all say it. God, I need my mess to be an awesome message. So God, I'm going to apply it. 1, 2, 3. Bam! Amen. Yeah, sure. Here.
Two things before you go. You know, the Bible talks about the older women that are more spiritually mature need to teach the younger women, and same for the men. And I would just like to challenge those of you who are more spiritually mature, maybe grandparents. There's a ministry waiting for you in this church. And it is making a difference in the lives of our littlest people, the littlest people in the kingdom, and that's in the nursery. And so I'm going to challenge all the grandparents. I've volunteered, and I challenge all the other grandparents to pray about it. Don't do it if you don't feel called. We don't want you in there being ugly to our babies. If you feel a calling, pray about it. If you've got a little bit of love for these little people, I challenge you to see Jeannie and to volunteer to minister to these little people, maybe once a month, however often you feel like you can. But see Jeannie and put your name on that list. The other thing is Sunday school. We are having so much fun with having parents, grandparents, non-parents, little kids, big kids. And we call it family-style Sunday school. And it's just really fun for the little people and the big people, too. We're learning a lot. And so for you new folks, I just want to invite you to come. It's at 10 o'clock, and it's very casual. Come in, have a cup of coffee, sit down. We have a lot of fun, but we also learn a lot as well. The Holy Spirit moves in there, too, and so I just want to invite you to come to that as well.
That's right. So, look, please accept the challenge. The more people we have volunteering for the nursery, the less amount of times you have to be there. If you have six, you get to be there. Yeah. Remember, we want you to feel the calling because we don't want you dropping the wrong F-bomb. Amen. I know you wouldn't do it. I'm just playing with that F-bomb. I'm sorry. No, really. The more people we get to volunteer, the more time you can stay out here and somebody can be in there. It's really important. And not only that, but think about this, where you're not only ministering to the children, you're giving the parents a break. And you can hear about it. We've got a video. You can see the video of what's going on. You can also hear. So it's not like you're back there and nobody, you can't see what's going on. You can see the whole service. The camera's right there. Brother Don, wave your hand, Brother Don. Show them where the camera's at. Show them right over there. The camera's right there. Right there. We got a camera. Right now, somebody's in the nursery. How y'all doing? Y'all turn around and wave at them. Everybody try and go, bam! Okay. It's important. And sometimes you feel like you're on an island by yourself, especially if you're a young parent. You feel like you're on an island by yourself. And some of us, we're thanking God that we don't have to be back on that island. Hallelujah. But we forget what it was like. So let's go on back there and let's show love and compassion unto the kids, but to the parents. It makes a difference. A big difference. Amen. Amen. And I did like her class this morning. She tried it on me last night. I passed. I think she said I did anyway. Amen. Come back tonight. Next week we're going to talk about the wheels and the cogs of forgiveness. Okay, it's going to be a short service. If it didn't, y'all forgive me. Just if it didn't, a short service, y'all go, bam! Okay? But next week, we're going to do the wheels, the cogs of forgiveness. And I really believe you're going to hear some stuff you may have never thought of this way, as though it's going to be different. Like today, I hope you heard something a little different that you may not have heard before in forgiveness. Next week's going to be even more different. So next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness, and then we're going to talk about some other things as we start moving toward Pentecost. And then we're going to talk about some even more exciting stuff, really exciting stuff. Amen?
Hey, go ahead. I don't mean to hold you up. Just he was talking about the church services. One example of what we've done in Sunday school was the week before Easter. We talked about the power of God, and like Peter even walked on water, and we act like we can't do that, but God gives us power. And so one of the things we did in Sunday school after we heard about all the scriptures about the power of God and what and how he gives us that power, we laid out 4 dozen raw eggs in the cartons, and we walked on those raw eggs. Didn't we, Stephanie?
No, nothing got crushed but one by somebody's big toe. We'll leave that one alone. Amen. Amen. God's awesome. All the time. Bro Frank, I'm going to hand this to you.
Ask the Lord's blessing on. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this place this day, for the hearts that were mended, for the captives that were set free. Father God, we just ask you, Lord, to give us the strength, Lord God, to forgive others, Lord God, their trespasses, Lord, so we can be forgiven. Now go with us, be with us, strengthen us, Lord God. We'll be sure to give you the praise, the glory, and honor for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.